There's something you should know about marja'iyya. One of the most important subjects of Islam is fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence. It's essentially the legal theory of Islam. And it's from fiqh that we get ahkam, which generally refers to the do's and don'ts of Islam. In Islam, every action a person can possibly do fits into 5 different categories. Haram, you don't do it. Wajib, you must do it. Makruh, it's better not to do it. Mustahab, it's better to do it. And mubah, it doesn't matter whether you do it or you don't. Every action that we could possibly ever do will fit into one of these 5 categories, and it's the ahkam which tells us precisely which is what and what is which. Ahkam tells us what to do and what not to do during the 5 daily prayers, what kinds of foods are haram, forbidden, and halal, permissible for us to eat, how many times one must circumambulate the Kaaba during the Hajj. All of these types of things are the ahkam, derived from the legal theory, fiqh. It is of utmost importance for all Muslims to follow the ahkam precisely. It's like the skeleton of the religion, without which nothing else has any real substance. And the Holy Quran says, I swear by time, certainly mankind is in loss, except those who believe and do good. You have to do both, believe and do good. The ahkam is essentially telling us how to do good and avoid the bad. We don't get to define what good actions and bad actions are for ourselves. If that was the case, everybody would have their own definition. Rather, Allah defines what good actions and bad actions are. And it's through fiqh and ahkam that we recognize what Allah wants from us. The Holy Quran tells us to establish the prayers, to pay the poor rate, to marry and to perform the Hajj, etc. But how are you going to figure out how to pray, how to pay the poor rate, how to marry, and how to perform the Hajj? What are the ahkam for these things? Do I say the takbir once or twice or 100 times? Do I do the ruku' like this or like this? Now, generally, the sunnah, the ahadith, and the ahlul bayt tell us how to do these things. The Holy Quran is perpetually timeless, perfect, and without flaw. But when it comes to the ahadith, there are contradictions. Some ahadith are weak, some strong, some are total fabrications, and some are truly divine and from the noble mouths of the prophets and imams. How do we figure out the strong from the weak and the true from the false? Moreover, how do we know the context of the ahadith in order to determine whether a particular hadith is applicable to the various situations of our modern life? Well, it's quite simple. You do ijtihad, which means that you derive rulings from the Quran and ahadith. Anyone can do it, provided that you're a genius. Learn Arabic grammar, syntax, ulum-i Quran and ahadith, have a sound understanding of ilm-i rijal, being able to determine which narrators of ahadith are trustworthy and which are not. You need to have a complete comprehension of the historical context of the ahadith, when, where, why certain things were said, and whether they would apply to a modern setting. You'll need to spend a good couple of years,
and by years I mean decades,
thoroughly researching the collections of volumes of ahadith books in order to become an expert in fiqh and derive the ahkam. When you do this, you become a mujtahid with the ability for ijtihad. You know, whenever they say Ayatollah so and so, that means that person is a mujtahid. Like when they say Ayatollah Khamenei or Ayatollah Sistani, it's because they're both mujtahid. They both have such a level of knowledge that they can do ijtihad, derive rulings from the Quran and the ahadith. But what if you can't do ijtihad? I mean, it's just not practical for everyone to become a mujtahid, right? The Holy Quran says, and it is not for all the believers to go forth all together. Why should some people from each group not go forth to gain understanding of the religion? But what about the rest of us? How are we going to figure out the ahkam? How am I going to know what to do and what not to do and how to do it? In every field of life, there are experts.
When you're sick, you go to the expert in medicine, i.e. a doctor.
When your car breaks down, you go to the expert in mechanics.
The mechanic.
History?
The historian.
Experts make the world go round. And if you want to learn the ahkam, you go to the expert in fiqh, i.e. the marja. A marja is a mujtahid, a person who has the ability for ijtihad. When you refer to a marja for your rulings and emulate or follow them, this is called taqleed. The Holy Quran also tells us to question the people of remembrance if you do not know. When a person does taqleed, they will choose a marja, and then they will follow whatever the marja says when it comes to ahkam. Is this seafood halal for me to eat? Ask your marja. I think I just broke my wudu. I'm not sure though.
Does this mean that my prayer is valid or not?
Ask your marja.
I'm lost and I don't know which way the Qibla is. Should I pray in just any random direction? Or should I pray in every direction just to make sure?
Ask your marja.
In short, anyone who does not have the ability for ijtihad, which is most of us, must follow someone who does, and this is called taqlid.
Well, there is a third option.
One could practice ihtiyat, precaution, meaning that you take into account what all the marjas have said and act according to all their views. If some marjas consider an act wajib, while others consider the same act mustahab, the one who's practicing ihtiyat must perform it. Similarly, if some marjas say a certain act is halal, but others say it's haram, then he should avoid it out of precaution in order to ensure that he has fulfilled his religious obligation.
Phew!
Anyway, the two main options are either to do ijtihad or follow a marja.
No, I won't follow a marja.
Oh good, that must mean that you're a mujtahid and can derive rulings for yourself.
Yes, I shall do ijtihad myself.
Brother, do you know the intricacies of Arabic grammar?
No.
Then how are you even going to understand the Quran, let alone the countless volumes of collections of hadith books, while understanding the context, historical background, etc., in order to determine their authenticity?
Come on, you can't even spell fiqh.
No. I just can't bring myself to conform to someone else for my deen. Taqlid just takes too much trust.
Brother, you already put your trust in people.
You don't question the doctor when he prescribes you medicine, do you?
When you go to the mechanic and he says that you need to change your hyperkinetic transfusion or meter thingy-majiggy, you trust him.
Because they are experts and specialists in those fields and you are not.
Trusting in others is a natural thing that we human beings do.
In fact, every time you sit in a taxi or a bus and put your trust in the driver to take you wherever you need to go,
you're trusting the driver.
When surgeons are performing a delicate surgery on you, you don't go, "Hey, put that back where you found it."
It's nothing but logical to trust the experts in any given field.
Similarly, when it comes to fiqh, the experts are the marjas, also known as the fuqaha. And Imam Sadiq says, "As for the fuqaha, who protect their own souls, who safeguard their religion, who go against the desires and passions of their lower desires, and who are obedient to the command of their mawla, then it is permissible for the common people to perform taqlid, follow them in religious issues." And this state is not found except in some of the fuqaha of the Shia, not all of them.
But what if I follow a marja, but there's another marja who says something different?
Well, you have to look at all the different marjas and identify for yourself which marja is the most knowledgeable.
There are three ways that you can identify which marja is the most knowledgeable.
Either you should arrive at certainty that a particular marja is the most learned. For this, one should be learned himself.
How are you going to identify for yourself who's the most knowledgeable in fiqh when you have no knowledge of fiqh yourself?
Or you could ask one or two just people who are learned and have the capacity to identify who is the most knowledgeable, provided that one or two other learned individuals don't contradict them.
You should be able to trust the verdict of these people that you ask.
Don't just ask anyone, ask those who know.
Or if a number of learned persons who possess the capacity to identify a mujtahid certify that a particular person is the most knowledgeable in their view.
It's very logical. You have to be honest with yourself and try to figure it out.
Once you've identified which of the marjas you are going to follow, you do their taqlid, which means that you follow their verdicts, fatwas.
If another marja contradicts your marja, it doesn't really matter. You follow the marja that you have determined to be your marja.
I'm not following any marja.
Why?
Because there are ahadith that say that taqlid is haram.
Well, firstly, have you read the other ahadith concerning the issue? Because there are many traditions which address the rationale behind taqlid, and some which even declared taqlid as wajib, mandatory. For example, we have one hadith from Imam Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, which says, "In your lives, when you face new problems never heard of before, consult with the narrators of our traditions to find out the rules and regulations on how to deal with the new situation. Following them is mandatory on you because I command you to do so, and following me is mandatory on you because Allah commands you to do so." This is why it's very important for us to have read all of the relevant ahadith concerning a particular subject. The marjas have done this.
Secondly, do you have the capacity to determine whether the chains of the ahadith are strong or weak in order to determine whether
whether a hadith is strong or weak, one must have an in-depth knowledge of the subject matter, which the murjas do have. Thirdly, have you learned what the specific words of the hadith are actually referring to? Because it may be that taqleed is haram. In fact, it is haram. No, really, it is. It's absolutely haram. And the ahadith which say that it's haram are right. But these are not referring to taqleed in fiqh, but rather in other issues. For example, aqaid, the belief system. In Islam, one cannot follow another in theology.
So-and-so scholar believes in one God, therefore I'll believe in one God. No.
Such and such scholar has a certain opinion about predestination and free will. Therefore, I'll do his taqleed and believe the same thing.
No.
So-and-so believes in the Day of Judgment. Therefore, I'll believe in the Day of Judgment.
No. No.
No. You can't do taqleed of someone else when it comes to the belief system. In fact, such a belief holds no value. This may have been what the Holy Prophet was referring to when he said, one who enters the religion by taqleed will also leave the religion by taqleed. If you're simply believing in something because somebody else believes it, then that's not real belief. Real belief will only enter the heart when someone personally reflects, contemplates, and researches themselves to arrive at conclusions. And every individual must do this. And this is actually one of the core problems we face today. People's beliefs are based on what their parents or what scholars have told them rather than contemplation. This is a kind of blind faith. And because of this, people don't think for themselves. And when the truth comes to them, they reject it. The Holy Quran tells us, when it is said to them, follow what Allah has sent down, they say, nay, we shall follow what we found our fathers following. What? Even though their fathers did not understand anything, nor were they guided. When it comes to the aqaid, you need to question it. Question it all you want. You want to challenge and ask, why is it so important to believe in one God? Is there really a day of judgment? Hell, heaven? When, where, why, what, how did Allah create us?
Good!
Ask! The worst thing is when people just don't ask. And when it comes to the physical, bare bones, cold, hard, do's and don'ts, halals and harams, one must follow the fiqh and ahkam. You don't question the ahkam. It's either haram or halal. It's either wajib or mustahab. It's either makruh or mubah. There is no why in ahkam.
Why is pork haram? I think
your opinion doesn't matter.
Why is the distance for the traveler's prayers so long? I think it should be
your opinion doesn't matter.
Why can't women lead men in prayers? In my opinion,
your opinion. When it comes to the fiqh, there's really only two options. Either you become a mujtahid and do ijtihad, or you go to the expert in fiqh, i.e. the marja. Simple.